Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was an unusual pregnancy. A pandemic had just begun. It started right around the time we took our pregnancy test, and we had hoped that things would change. Sure, the first appointments were for my wife, for the pregnant partner only, but maybe by Easter, maybe by summertime, maybe by, and it continued from there. Every single appointment, every single ultrasound, checkup, blood work, each milestone appointment, we were separated because of policies around the pandemic. I was the one who is always sitting in the car waiting, waiting for a phone call, waiting to be brought in by a video call, or just simply waiting for my wife to come back from her appointment. And while throughout the pandemic, we were able to spend more days together at home than we had anticipated, these normal shared milestone experiences of the pregnancy were taken away from us. And while it was an unusual pregnancy in those ways, it isn't quite unique in the past 2 years. If you ask anybody who is pregnant, any pregnant person or their partner throughout these years, the litany of experiences would be very similar. It would be common for most new parents during this pandemic. And for us, it was unusual and challenging, to say the least. It was also an unusual pregnancy for Elizabeth. Her husband, Zechariah, was visited by the angel Gabriel in the temple, and he was struck silent for the whole duration of her pregnancy. Elizabeth was also too old for a normal pregnancy. Geriatric, we might have termed her, or perhaps even older than a geriatric pregnancy. She was barren. It shouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened, except by the act of God. It was unusual and challenging. And it was an unusual pregnancy for Mary. Not yet married, betrothed. Also, she was approached by the angel Gabriel, given strange greetings, and yet faithfully and fully assenting, Mary gave her yes. And as proof that this was actually possible, Elizabeth, her cousin, was also pregnant, for nothing will be impossible with God, as Luke tells it. It was unusual and challenging. And as our gospel reading today begins, Mary sets off to the hill country, heading up to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And the first words on Elizabeth's lips upon hearing Mary's greeting are, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Elizabeth, inspired by the Holy Spirit, interprets the leaping of John in utero and blesses Mary, and blesses the child that she carries, using words of blessing in a new way and drawing on her memory of other blessings that would have shaped her life of faith in her home throughout the years. And Mary responds, bursting into song. I don't like how the NRSV puts it. "And Mary said," no, "Mary sang out, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.'" Mary responds with this song of praise, blessing God, and celebrate what is happening and will happen in the incarnation. Her song echoes the songs of women before her in scriptures, the songs of Miriam, of Deborah, of Hannah. Mary's imagination is shaped by these voices of her faith, giving her words to interpret anew what God is doing in the child that she is carrying. Just think about it for a moment. The exchange between Elizabeth and Mary is just so beautiful. In these unusual and these challenging circumstances, the first words of greeting on their lips are words of blessing and praise, pointing to something deeper, pointing to the work that God is about to do, that God is accomplishing in the incarnation. The season of Advent is good for these unusual and these challenging days. Advent has a strange way of surfacing and drawing to the surface various parts of our human life and experience as we get ourselves ready to celebrate Christmas. And here, today, as we're approaching the end of a second year of a global pandemic, we are again in unusual and challenging times. And throughout this pandemic, I think that we have been coming face to face with some of the most difficult parts of what it means for us to be human. In the face of our mortality and vulnerability, one of those realities seems to be that we jump to harsh words rather quickly, that we jump to be quick to judge and quick to critique, quick to tear down someone. And to me, it seems that it comes out of, you know, everything that's happening, a new variant, sorting through our own expectations and hopes, sorting through our griefs of the losses of some of those expectations and hopes, the quick changes. In all of this, it feels like we're threatened, we're hurt, and we're wounded. And here, in the middle of this crisis, Advent again presents us with an opportunity to reflect and ask, how might we be transformed by the gospel? How might we be transformed by the grace of God working in the incarnation and the eventual return of Christ, and be transformed by perhaps this exchange of blessing and praise? When I look at this gospel reading, what I notice is that both Mary and Elizabeth are responding to the action of God in their lives. And they are responding in the midst of a very challenging and unusual situation for both of them. Pregnancies that ought not to have happened, living under empire. And ultimately, they ground their responses in the language and the stories of their faith that gives them hope and gives them an understanding of what's happening. Elizabeth's response is to bless Mary, and Mary's response is to praise God. Blessing and praise. And I want to invite us to consider those two ideas for a few moments this morning, because I think they're helpful. And I want you to hear, though, that this isn't an invitation to some sort of place of false optimism, of some cheery rose-colored glasses to put on our gospel. No, this is actually a deeper and more rich invitation than that. It's an invitation to blessing and praise in these days, and it's an invitation to come to a place where honest exploration and wonder are welcome. It's a place where lament and anger can actually be voiced and explored with God. It's a place where our longings and our hopes might not be fulfilled yet, and yet we still wait and we hope in God's action, trusting that his promises will be fulfilled. And it's also a place where we can explore our own edges and our vulnerabilities, our fears and our fragilities, all in order to allow ourselves to become more truly human, to become more truly who we're called to be. In these ordinary times, in these unusual times, in challenging times, I think blessing and praise matters. Because blessing and praise will flow through all of our life of faith. And it's a place where we can be in relationship together and in relationship with God. My hunch is that in days like ours, here in the middle of a global pandemic, with uncertainty and challenges around us, with rapidly changing news and policies, I think that blessing and praise can work as a set of spiritual practices to draw our attention to something deeper and to help us pay attention to more important things. It's a place where, perhaps like Elizabeth, we can find ourselves listening for and hearing what God is doing in another person's life, and find ways of blessing and celebrating that story in their life. Or perhaps like Mary, we might find ourselves singing songs of praise and trusting in what God will promise that he's going to do. It's a keeping our eyes on the horizons, keeping our eyes and trusting that God will accomplish the work that's out there. So perhaps we need to offer blessing and praise and reflect on what we know about the story of God, to reflect on our lives and each other's lives and discover the work of this coming kingdom. I know that it can be hard in these days to give voice to that. I know it can be hard for us because we are tired, we are strained, and we are at our edges. And it's very human of us, very easy of us to reach for a quick and sharp word. But today, I wonder if Advent is inviting us, in the place of our deep longings and yearnings still unfulfilled, to pay attention to what God is doing, to keep our eyes on the horizon towards the coming reign of God, so that we can bless and praise each other. Elizabeth and Mary's encounter helps us model a different way, an Advent way, a way of seeing and speaking to something deeper and truer, the work of God, especially in unusual and challenging experiences. Their encounter is a way of seeing blessing and praise as two threads that encourage and build up spiritual practices at the heart of our life of faith. Threads that can be woven under and around and through the struggles and the real challenges of life. Threads that can exist in and with lament, challenges, and even critiques when they're needed, when they're drawn out by God. But threads that ultimately help us to ground us in God's grace and God's love, both in the now and in the not yet. The tension that we hear in the Magnificat, those sets of verbs that are all in the past tense yet are still not fully completed, but are promised to be done in the incarnation and the second coming of Christ. So, as we approach the end of Advent and enter into this new stage of the pandemic, may we be like Elizabeth and Mary. May we become a people who are marked by blessing and praise, able to see and encourage each other in the work that God is doing in our lives, blessing each other along the way, able to celebrate and name what God is doing in our communities, praising God and looking forward in hopeful expectation. And may we do that in ordinary, in unusual, or in challenging circumstances through all the days of our life, grounded ultimately in God's love and grace. Amen.